Tonight, you can take your Bibles and you can go to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to start in verse 11. And tonight I'm going to be sharing on, I've entitled my teaching, Take Heed, colon, the Stayed Mind. So it's going to be about the stayed mind. But we're going to look at that phrase a few times tonight. And in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, it says, And he, God, gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why did he give them? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Right? So, God gave us these wonderful gift ministries, and he gave them to us so that we could bring the church into full fruition. That's what it means in the perfecting of the saints, to bring into full fruition, right? To edify the body of Christ. And as a result, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, right? We don't want to be like children in that way and have a mind that is all over the place, right? Have be tossed about with every wind of doctrine. Like, oh, that sounds good, or that sounds good, or that sounds good, right? We want to be we want to have our minds stayed on God and his word, that the things that we've been taught are what we stand on, right? So go to 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Now, can you see God with your eyeballs?
No.
No. Can you touch God with your hands?
No.
No. So, our meeting place, our meeting ground with God is in our minds, right? It's in our minds. We can't shake his hand or see him physically. So we meet with God in our brains, in our minds, right? And we have to be expert groundskeepers of that ground, that meeting ground, right? And what that means is that we have to work with our own brains. We have to work with our own minds. And a fertile meeting ground means a clear and sharp and disciplined mind that's stayed on God's word. That's how you can get the most interaction and fellowship with God, is a mind that's stayed on his word, right? That's what leads to open doors of communication with God. And the world is full of distractions, right? The world is full of things that want to get your mind tossed to and fro. To look over here, look over there, look at that shiny thing. Squirrel, right? That's the world. And who runs the world? The adversary, right? So that's his whole plan, is to distract us. He wants to keep us from cultivating that meeting ground with God, right? He wants to keep us from having a relationship with God by distracting us. But we have an out. In 1 John 4:4, it says, You are of God, little children. See, it's okay to be a little child, right? Just not when it's tossed to and fro. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, right? It's God in Christ and us, and that's greater than the adversary. So God's given us an out, right? It's God in Christ and us. God will never ask you to do something that you can't, do. He'll never tell you or ask you to do something that you can't do, right? So the question is, what does he ask us to do in this regard? We'll go to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. In verse 1, it says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed, to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them what? Slip. Right. And so that's what God's asking us to do, that we ought to give more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, and that's referring to God's word, to the rightly divided word that we've been taught. We are to give more earnest heed to that. And to give more earnest heed means to pay more careful attention. We're to pay more careful attention to God's word than other things. It also means to hold on all the more firmly. So God's instruction to us is to hold on all the more firmly to his word, lest you let them slip. And to let them slip is to drift away or to passively let them go. And so here you have two options presented, right? You can either hold all the more firmly to God's word, or the alternative is if you don't do that, then they will passively slip away. They will passively drift or be let go of, right? So it's one of those things where it's like you keep working that ground and keep that word in your mind, or if you don't do that, it's going to slip away, right? It's going to drift away. And so God's instruction to us is to give more earnest heed, to pay more careful attention to his word than to the other stuff in the world. The distractions will find their way in. You're constantly being hit with them, right? That's what the adversary wants. So it takes an effort and it takes a discipline to keep your mind stayed on the word. Because if you don't do it, something else will find its way in. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. But it means that it's available to do, because God wouldn't ask you or tell you to do something that you can't do. Romans 8:6. But he warns against it because he knows who we are and he knows who runs the world. He knows there's an opportunity out there for us to let it slip, to passively let it go, if we don't actively keep it at the forefront. In Romans 8:6 it says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law, God neither indeed can be. Right? So the carnal mind is also associated with our old man nature, right? And it's the mind that thinks about stuff other than the word of God, right? It is, in verse 6, it is compared to the spiritual mind, right? And you get a spiritual mind by going to God's word and filling it with the things of God, the things that are spiritual, right? And you have a carnal mind otherwise, right? That's basically the other side of the coin. So if you don't feed yourself and cultivate that and take heed to stick your mind on the word, right, the old man nature is all too ready to succumb to the distractions around us. Right? You have to put off the old man nature, right? It's an active thing in God's word that God tells us to do. Unless we put in the effort, the eventual outcome is that we slip. And that's not what God wants for our lives. Go to Romans chapter 12. What he wants for our lives is in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That you can do what God wants you to do, would have you to do, right? To be conformed to this world, again, is to let your mind get tossed to and fro. Go back to those things that the world promotes. But instead, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And what do you renew it to? The Word, right? The Word. So when you renew your mind to the Word, when you keep it locked and stayed on God's Word, it transforms you. It transforms you. It makes your whole life better, right? Because you have a relationship with God. Then you're walking and talking with God. Then you have a spiritual mind, which is life and peace, right? And the carnal mind is death. It's like, it's not a blessing. It results in you being unpeaceful and unhappy. Go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is really cool because every verse mentions the Word of God. And as you would expect, there are some verses in here about keeping the Word of God in your thoughts and in your brains. Psalm 119, verse 9. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How's a young man going to make his way nice and clean looking? A blessing. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And again, that taking heed is to be anchored, right? To cling to hold more firmly. Verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments, right? And that harkens back to letting them slip, right? Or being like a child tossed to and fro, just wandering around, right? When we seek God with our whole heart, when He's our focus, then we're not wandering and we're not lost and we're not amiss. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart, right, that innermost part of your mind, that I might not sin against thee, right? To hide it in your heart is to lock it in your minds, to have that stayed mind on God's word. Verse 30 of 119. It says, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord, put me not to shame. Right? And so, if you look at those verses, take note of the actions, the verbs in those verses. In verse 10, chosen, right? That's a deliberate decision. I've chosen the way of truth. I have laid thy judgments before me, right? It's an action. It's an act of doing. And then in verse 31 again, I have stuck unto thy testimonies, right? They're intentional, chosen, laid, stuck, right? It's a matter of disciplining yourself to do it, to choose it, and to stick to it. Verse 162. I rejoice at thy word as one that finds great what? Spoil. That word spoils, the word like treasure or great reward. I rejoice at thy word as one who finds a great treasure or a great reward, right? And our attitude towards God's word will determine its stickiness in our lives. Right? So if we look at God's word as this great treasure that we found, right, then we'll have great rejoicing in it. It will be something that we stick to. It will be something that we return to over and over again. It will be something that we want to keep in our brains. But if our attitude towards the word is like, oh, it's just another dusty old book, then we're going to find it difficult to be intentional about it, right? The psalmist here said, I rejoice at thy word as one that finds great treasure, right? Every time he opened the book, it was exciting. It was a treasure to him. It was God's word. Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. So we want to take heed. We want to cling to that. And we want to approach God's word like it's this valuable treasure. Because it is. In God's word, we have all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We have all the things that we would need to live a more abundant life. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about, seeking whom he may, what? Devour. Right? So that's what the adversary wants for your life. He's looking for people who he can devour. In verse 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Right? So remember that the adversary wants you to forget the nature of God. He wants you to forget who you are in Christ. He wants you to forget all that you have available to you. And as you stay your mind on God's word, you're not going to forget those things, right? If your mind is stayed on those promises, who God is, how much he loves you, who you are in Christ, what your sonship rights are, that you can operate the nine manifestations. If you stay your mind on these things, then you're going to resist steadfast in the faith, right? Your believing will be on the word of God, and the adversary won't touch you. Go to Psalm 27. And that's why God tells us to take heed, to pay attention, right? To put in the effort, to make it a priority, because he knows who we're up against. And he's given us a way to win. He's given us a way to resist. But it does take effort. It does take discipline. In Psalm 27, verse 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait. And that wait is to wait eagerly, to hope for, or to look unto. Wait, hope for, look unto the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Right? The adversary is very cunning. Most people who believe in God out in the world, like, you know, the everyday believing or person that says they believe in God, who doesn't necessarily know the rightly divided word, think that God is good, right? They wouldn't say, like, I believe in God and he's bad. They think that God is good. But I would venture to guess that many of them don't believe or doubt that God's goodness is available to them. Right? That they have to do something to be worthy enough, that they have to somehow earn God's love and his goodness. Right? They don't deny that God's good, but they don't believe that God is going to be good to them. Right? They think there's something else that they've got to do to unlock that, right? And that's what the adversary wants people to think, right? Is that they're not worthy enough, that they're not good enough, or God's great, but he's not going to do that for me. He's going to do that for somebody else, right? Then that's what keeps people powerless, right? That's what keeps people from enjoying all the goodness that God has made available, right? And we have to hold fast to the truth that we know, that we've been taught, and keep our minds stayed and fast on those things. And finally, go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. So, if we don't remember all the good things that God's given to us, It's easy to give up. It's easy to faint. It's easy to let go of that stuff, right? But we don't want to be like the rest of the world. We don't want to be talked out of it. We want to hold fast and stay our minds on that. In 1 Timothy 4:16, it says, "Take heed unto thyself and unto what?"
The
doctrine, right? The doctrine is the word of God. What they've been taught, right? The rightly divided word that we know. So pay close attention to is to take heed or to focus on, right? Pay close attention to thyself, right? As the great Ice Cube once said, check yourself, right? Check yourself. Pay attention. Make sure that you're taking heed and paying attention to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And the word save there is to make whole. Right? It's not, you know, to gain salvation, but it's to make whole. To make whole. So as we continue in God's word, as we keep it at the forefront, it's what makes you and I whole. Right? It's what makes our lives complete and blessed. And it works for those that we speak it to also, right? As we cling to it, it's what's going to come out of our mouths, right? The word says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So as we keep it in our brains, as we keep it the thing that we focus on and take heed to, it'll just naturally come out of our mouths too. So as we devote ourselves to and cling to that word and continue to put it on in our life, we'll see those great results come to pass.